Our Father's Word, how fantastic it is. I'm going to take you all the way back to Passover this year when we were talking about seals and how that you need, where do the seals go? Right up here. What is it? It's the truth. It's Father's Word. And you know something? The end is not going to happen until we seal God's people. Man, has He given us a hammer. He has given us a trumpet that you push one button and it goes all the way around the world. So that sealing is taking place in big numbers and it grows and grows till you can't keep up with it. You just really, you know, sometimes you feel like saying, Lord, we're country folk. But He just says, keep rowing, keep rowing. So, hey, as long as He says that, that's all it takes. But these seals are extremely important. You'll remember in Daniel 7 and in Revelation chapter 7, the four winds are very important as far as having something to do with the prophecy of the end times. Those four winds are not going to blow, which that brings the end, the seventh trump, until we get those people sealed. And so I'm going to take you today to chapter 14 of this great book of Revelation, where what's going on there is the Antichrist has already been on earth. Christ is about to return. And you want to know what you're supposed to be doing? Well, that's what we're going to find out. We're going to seal that in your mind so that at least we have that one more step taken toward finalizing what must be done in this generation, which is the generation of the fig tree, which is the final generation. And that's good. Hey, all things will be fulfilled in the generation of the fig tree. Chapter 14, a word of wisdom from our Father. We ask it in Yeshua's name. Chapter 14 of the great book of Revelation, verse 1, and it reads, now listen, come with me now. Don't shirk on me. The Antichrist is already on earth. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself is just about to return or is in the process thereof. So come there with me as we make this study. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his Father's name written in their foreheads. That means the seal in their foreheads. Now, who's there with them? A lamb. And this is not the lamb of chapter 13, verse 11. Looks like a lamb, but he's nothing but the dragon. This is the true lamb, and he is with them. And that 144,000 are sealed. They have that name in their forehead. Verse 2, and I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. That's always the voice of God. When He speaks, people listen. Angels listen. The sounds rumble. The sounds thunder. Remember the ancestors at the foot of the great mount. It frightened them so bad when God spoke, they said, don't get us away from Him. Can't handle it. Don't let Him talk to us anymore. That's a shame, isn't it? But you can see it in today's people also that really don't know. It's sad. It's not only sad, it's something you could just weep about real easy when you look around. Whose fault is it? Teachers' fault. People that are supposed to be planting seeds. People that are supposed to be sealing God's Word in the minds of people that play church. Now, I'm not knocking churches and I'm not blaming anybody. It's just, that's the way it is. Like it or lump it, it's sad. It is really sad. Verse 3, and they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Not from heaven, not from somewhere else, right here from good old earth. They were brought out. Who brought them out? God's elect. Those were sealed. And, you know, this is why that some people that you plant a seed with, they'll say, ah, shah. When they see you delivered up and the Holy Spirit speaking through you, they're going to come alive and they're going to say, whoa, that was the truth. And they'll make a stand. So don't you ever judge how good or how bad your seed planting is or your producing fruit, okay? Verse 4, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. This is in a spiritual sense, okay? Take it that way and you won't go wrong. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. They don't ask questions. They stay focused. They stay in God's Word. They stay in the volume. They don't play horseshoes with some garbage, meaning some man's writings. There's only one writing, and it's the writings of our Heavenly Father that count. Don't let man deceive you. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God to the Lamb. Those first fruits are always so precious. That's why that sealing is so very important. Sealing in the mind the truth, the Word. Verse 5, and in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. They're innocent. Why? They believed. They believed what you said. And when it got down really to the nitty-gritty, and with the Holy Spirit speaking through you, those that are sealed, then they came forth, and they were innocent. Oh, how they're going to fall on their knees and repent to Almighty God for not having been more interested in the Word of God. 6. Listen real carefully. Now I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Now wait a minute. Where are we? Well, we're on the last day. The 144 have come forth. Christ is with them. Here comes an angel wanting to preach. Who's he going to preach? I've touched on this before. We're talking about the preaching that will take place during the millennium. Now, that wasn't just plain old common preaching we're talking about here. Did you catch it? Everlasting gospel. Aeonos, which means everlasting, all right? Eternal. Aeonos, meaning it means from the very beginning of the world, world without end. That means the gospel from the first day of creation. It's not the gospel of the kingdom. It's not the gospel of salvation. It's the eternal gospel. And that's what you will seal with. You might say, well, I don't quite understand that. Well, let me ask you a question to kind of bring it into focus for you. How many people have you been in a casual conversation with and just let it slip out of your mouth and say, oh, that happened back in the first earth age? And I say, what are you talking about? What are you talking about the first earth age? See, they don't know. And the gospel is eternal. And it must be taught eternal. What am I saying? I'm saying that is documentation that what you study, what you believe, and what you seal with is truth and nothing but the truth. And it's truth from God's Word. Don't let someone mislead you in this 11th hour. It's late. Stay focused. Stay centered in the Word of God. You know, this is the only place this gospel is mentioned. You won't find it mentioned anywhere else. Nothing. You'll find the gospel of grace, gospel of the kingdom, gospel of salvation. But the eternal gospel must be preached. Even at the end, because it goes on into the millennium, God's word never changes. God's Word is always the same. And you know, what is complicated about the first earth age? That's the only thing that makes sense. And it's written in God's Word. Why wouldn't someone believe God's Word? And the fact that even at this time we have an angel showing up, I mean, he's preaching. He's ready to preach. Who's going to do the work? Well, you figure it out for yourself. Okay? But it's going to be there. And the preaching is going to be done. And it's going to be done to every tongue, every kindred, everybody that was deceived in this world will have an opportunity to know the truth, and you are going to do it. The eternal gospel. Gospel without end. A gospel that God spoke. What should that let you know? God had a plan coming out the gate. God had an eternal plan for His children. Before you ever started. Well, why did it have to go through it? You got to weed out. You cannot create a bunch of souls, children, and give them free will and know just from the surface whether you can trust them or not. You got to feed them some line, sometimes enough to hang themselves with, okay? They have to make up their own mind whether they're going to heaven or whether they're going to hell, whether they're going to be with us or whether they're going to be against us. It's their choice. It's your choice. And how precious it is that God chooses some to bring forth the eternal gospel, which so far, it isn't better than the gospel of salvation. But there's a time and a place for everything, my dear one. We've come to the time for the everlasting gospel. From the events that transpired in the first earth age that brought us into this earth age, but what we must be concerned about now is the earth age coming. That, you know something? There's lost souls out there. They're hurting. They're really hurting. And I guarantee you, by the time they see their rock that they're standing on shaken, it's not Christ, not the true Christ. And by the time they see that they are misled, they're going to be begging for knowledge from God's Word as to who the false one is, where they can go, what they can do, how they can help, be helped. And that's what you're for. And then a Christian will say, I just wondered what God wants me to do. Get to work. That's what He wants you to do. You know, the only thing you can take with you is your work. Well, I want to take my faith. Hey, have to it, but it won't count anything for you. You see, you show me your faith and I'll see your works. Or show me your works and I'll see your faith. It's like one of these preachers that likes to talk big, you know. Have a big smile and take big steps, you know. But he never does anything, okay? Never takes a chance for God. He's not going anywhere. Okay. Well, I wonder why. He don't have any works. God says, believe and do. You've got to be a doer, beloved. You've got to be a doer. And you know something? All of you are. You are a part and a very important part of this ministry and other ministries. And you're getting it done. It's happening. And I thank God for it. Eternal gospel. What about these people? What about these people that didn't sin? There was no guile, no deception found in them. Does that ring a bell to you? There's one other place that everlasting is mentioned, only it's kind of a little different story. We're going to turn there. Open your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians. Let's just do a little checking out here. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, you know what happens here. Paul is teaching and he said, hey, don't let somebody deceive you. The true Christ is not returning until after the son of perdition, which is to say Satan, stands in Jerusalem claiming to be God. claiming to be Jesus. It's not going to happen. That's the eternal gospel, my friend. Get set for it. This, in as much as you're also familiar with that, there's a point I want to make. Pick it up in verse 11. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they shall believe a lie. Hey, if somebody wants to read garbage, God will help them out. You may think I'm really getting, boy, this is so sensational. Really something to know. Yeah, well, God will pile on some more for you. This is the book. Okay, yeah. It's called the Bible. Okay. It's called the volume. Do you need something besides your Father? Do you need some other gospel or some other word? I would hope not. You know, if you'll absorb this one, you will have done a pretty good job. So you need to kind of work on it and find out what the volume has to say in depth. He said, God, if you want to pile on, God will help you out. If you want to mess around with Satan's little old teachings, I'll load your donkey. Okay, verse 12. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning. Well, where's the beginning? In the beginning. Chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. A lot more to the eternal gospel than you might give credit to just on the surface. As to when, who was chosen and what. Well, does that make them better than anybody else? No way. Makes them a little smarter. But they still have to take care of their own morals and business or get punished more so than anyone else. I just want to make that real clear. Verse 14, whereunto he called you by what? By our gospel. You know what gospel means? It's good news. By our, you like good news, don't you? Boy, you hear enough bad, you should like good news. To the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, can you obtain it? Can you absorb it? Do you know that he loves you? You know that's why he died on the cross for you. Is because he loves you. He cares. 15, sharpen up for me. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by epistle. That's from the word of God, not some storybook. Got it? 16, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, hath given us everlasting, eonus, everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Now let me tell you a little bit about this word consolation here. It's not everlasting gospel. The word consolation is parakalos. Do you know what that means? That's Greek for Holy Spirit. That's what it's talking about, is the Holy Spirit. He has given us everlasting spiritual protection, the Holy Spirit, and good hope through grace. Do you know something? That's fantastic. Do you know that he cares enough about you that he's... Do you know what the Holy Spirit's duty is? It's not sitting at the right hand of God, intercessing between you and God. You don't have any problem with God. It's being an intercessor between you and the world. Between you and the people of the world. But if somebody tries to come down on you, he will grind them. He will take care of them. Well, how can I be sure of that? Don't you know what the word aeonus means? Everlasting. He's there. That comforter. That protector. For the sheep. Do you know what I mean by the sheep? That's people that follow Christ. Well, I kind of in some ways follow him. No, you don't. No, don't give me that stuff. You either are or you're not. Perhaps I should say, you either are or you aren't. this just don't cut it to say, well, maybe. No such thing as maybe. You either do or you don't follow him, period. You either have faith in him. Well, I believe a little bit. No, you don't. That's not belief. You're just stargazing, wandering around. Well, if I could just be sure. I'll tell you what. That reminds me of the old boy was. If I could just be sure that his buddies told him, said, you know that every night you go to work, that old boy comes over to your house.
He does.
Well, you just kind of take off an hour or two and go down there and watch. And he went down and watched, and sure enough, here come the guy, and up the stairs they went, and went in his bedroom, saw him embrace, and the lights went out. He said, if I could just be sure. That's terrible, isn't it? I don't know what caused me to do that, but I did. But that, you know, that's how I feel about somebody that says, if I could just be sure. Because it's that plain in front of your face. I mean, that God is real, that the Word is true. And you know something? How in the world, the way the nations are shaping up and the events that have transpired since the year of our Lord, 1948, could have doubts? How could you? God's Word is coming to pass exactly as it is written. What was His promise there? Think about it. Absorb it. I will give you the everlasting presence of the Holy Spirit to take care of you. If you know the Antichrist is coming first, and if you won't listen to his garbage, so that I have to pile lies, and I'll pile more of it. That's what you want. Hey, I'll feed you good, God said. You know, you want a little bit of that false teaching, I'll get you a bunch of it. But you hold true to the gospel, the good news. And don't you ever let someone pull you away from that. And some might say, what? You know, that would just tear my family up. Well, now I've got some bad news for you. Some people, when the message of truth is taught, they feel like it harms people and upsets them. You know something? So did it when Christ taught it. He said, I don't come to bring peace to the world, but I set families in opposition against each other. The truth will do that. Don't you ever feel bad about it. You know what the payoff is? Maybe that's a bad way to put it, but the payoff is that you get to help them in the millennium. You know, they're yours. They're your family. And you can put a word in. You can help them, as it's written in Ezekiel chapter 44. Eternal presence of the Paraita, the Holy Spirit. What a promise. And it's only made to those that are mentioned and are being addressed in this second chapter of Thessalonians. Or we'll have more. But this is only promised to them. He didn't say to the world. But those that listen to truth, that absorb the volume. Now, let's continue another verse, verse 17. Comfort your hearts. That's the same word, parakletos. Let the Holy Spirit comfort your mind. And establish you in every good work. I'm sorry, word and work. Has he? Of course he has. That's why that the good work is God's word. The good work is taking care of business at these end times. And beloved, we may be a lot closer than many might think. I was wondering some time back, how in the world could Russia, in as much as they've got democracy now, a form of it, how could they be coming against us in Ezekiel 38? And then we heard Putin in this last week say, well, I'm going to stop elections on governors and I'm going to appoint them. Who? That's not going over real well, even in Russia. Okay, I'm saying God's word always comes to pass as it is written. I don't have any trouble with that. That doesn't bother me one iota. Now, let's return, if we may, to the 14th chapter. and never forget the eternal gospel that will be taught to them that dwell on the earth, not heaven. Why? Because earth, what happens on the earth? The millennium. And they'll be preaching there. And guess who's going to be doing it? Well, if you got a bunch of people out here that don't even know there was an earth age before this, I'll give you a few guesses. People that know the truth, you do. Hang on to it. It's priceless. It's precious. And it goes, you know, I like that he throws that gate down, the bar. It's for everybody. Every nation, every kindred and tongue and people. And let me tell you something. They're going to listen. It's going to be a different ball game in the millennium than it is here. You won't have any trouble gathering a crowd. And the main thing that will be taught in that particular time from the everlasting, eternal, from beginning, world without end, gospel, is the fact that they're making their own mind up. They've got to decide for themselves. Nobody can do it for you. You've got to do it for yourself. Verse 7 in Revelation 14, saying with a loud voice, fear God. That's revere him, love him, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Do you know what he's talking about here? Isaiah chapter 61. When Jesus went into the temple and he picked up the good book, the scroll, and he read from that scroll that hour, that time, and he picked the scroll up when he walked the earth. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because I'm reading verse 1, Isaiah 61. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. Just listen. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Listen carefully, verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's where Jesus laid it down. Because that's all he was fulfilling at that time. But the day we're reading about in Isaiah, in Revelation chapter 14, is what follows in that verse. And the day of vengeance of our God to confront all and to comfort all that mourn. Those that mourn about the wickedness that's going on in the world will be comforted. But God's vengeance, that cup of wrath, the cup that, you know, so many people misunderstand the cup that Jesus was praying could be passed from his hand. It's this one. The wrath that must be poured out, and it's going to be. It's not going to be nice. You might say, you mean God is really going to pour a cup out that'll burn them and sting them? Yeah, do you know what it is? It's the truth. How would you like to have attended a church, warmed your little buns on those hard seats all your life, to be taught about a rapture, and then find out when Jesus returns, you're going to hell? I mean, think about it. That won't be fun, and that won't be games. That will be very painful if you have been misled to the point of worshiping the spurious Messiah. Well, let's just go ahead and let him in anyway. No way. We've got an eternity and we don't want any losers with us. Okay. If they can't love Christ for who he is, our Father for what he is, we don't want them. Okay. Sorry, that's the way it is. Period. Because it's going to be a long haul. It's forever. And those that don't want what's right, we don't want them with us. And you know something? You don't have to worry about it. Neither is our Father. But this is the cup he was hoping. Is there any other way? God said, no, this is it. We must pour it out. And it's a process of learning. That's what it is. And I don't know about you, but I love a process of learning. I love learning. I love absorbing the Word. It's so precious, so tasteful, so strengthening. And you know something? It can even change your life. It can really change your life when God reaches down and touches you. And your very path is blessed. Well, do you really believe that? I know it. I know it from experience. God blesses those that love Him, follow Him, and aren't a bunch of wimps. Okay? I come down on wimps pretty hard, you know, and I probably shouldn't, because some people have mild hearts, okay? And you know, when you come to old Marine combat veterans, we kind of are calloused against people that say, that war just gives me the syndromes. You know, there we were in North Korea, 40 below zero. 120,000 Chinese, 12,000 of us. I don't know anyone in my outfit that ever had to go see a psychologist. You know? I really don't. I don't know of a one that did. Now, I got an old buddy. Hold your hand up right there. You'll vouch for what I say, won't you, partner? He was there with me. Okay? So, God likes can-do type people. Now, there are people that have mental illness. That's a totally different thing. Be that as it may, I'm drifting here away from the cup of wrath. Let's pour it, okay? Let's pick it up with verse 8, okay? 8, and there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. She poured her cup out, friend. That's why Christ is going to pour his out. Verse 9, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead, or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. They're going to get it, okay? You know something? It's a self-punishment. All he has to do is stand there and let them know they didn't make it. Boy, you talk about some sad-hearted people, disappointed people. Thought, sure, had been promised all their life they had salvation. Even if they went out and whored after the Antichrist. I'm saved. Saved by who? Forget it. You can't worship the devil and love Christ at the same time. You can't get sweet water and sour water out of the same tap. It won't work. Verse 11, and the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Where are you going?
I've got something better to do.
Oh, okay. Hey, ask and you find out. I'm teasing. Go ahead, Mark. You know, don't mess with church secretaries. Don't mess with... I did. I'm sorry. You go. Mention my name, though, okay? Boy, am I in trouble. I want to tell you something. A lot of people say, these poor people are gone forever. It didn't say that. It didn't say that. It said the smoke of their torment's gone up forever and ever. It didn't say they were. You stop and think about that. Watch what you're reading, okay? Now, I mean, there's a lot of preachers, these fire and damnation preachers. That's what it says right there, by the glory of God, their troubles go up and in smoke and fire forever and ever. It's not what it said. Said their torment, with their sadness, their sorrow. Who do you think we're going to preach to? Okay? You know, we're going to straighten them out, those that will. If there's any chance at all, we're going to drag them out of the fire, okay? And you know something? If you love your brethren, you're going to be right on the work, on the job, friend. That's what it's about. Verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. You got patience? You should have. Be patient with them. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. That's what always happens, friend. That's the only thing you can take with you, is your work. Do you know why? Because your works weave together the white garment that you wear. Well, I don't have any works. Well, guess what? You're not going to have any garment either. That can be a little embarrassing, friends. You want to remember that. You know, God gives different gifts, and I don't want to put anybody on guilt trip. Sometimes just a precious smile can pick a person up. Might even prevent someone from committing suicide. At the right time, the right place, just to have a real good one today. People love hope when they're lost. They don't have much. There's a lot of grief in this world. So let's don't come down real hard on these that their torment goes up forever and ever. I hope we're the ones that kick it up there. Get rid of their torment and bring them a little happiness. The patience of the saints. Saints have a lot of patience. And sometimes that's one thing that really makes me worry sometimes about if I really get to go, is patience. Hey, I want to get them. I want to show them. But God, we'll do it God's way. I'm teasing. You know that, don't you? Your works are with you. That's your payday. You know, one thing, you can tell how well someone is founded in the Word by how bad they dread Judgment Day. Unless they really got it coming, all right? But Judgment Day is payday. That's when the blessings are passed out. Ooh, I'm ready, okay? Verse 14, and I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. It's coming. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. It's going to be harvested, friends, and it's not going to be a pretty sight for some people. But it'll be a glorious day for us, and a time to take a hand and hold it and say, you should have known better. We'll help guide you. God is only angry at Satan and those he deceives, and those that will not pay attention to him, those that will not love him. They'll have that opportunity, and you'll be one of the guiding lights that brings them to that door threshold. 16. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven. He also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the other six of them, okay, from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in the sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. You know something? You don't harvest grapes with a sickle. That's pretty brutal. Okay? You would splatter the blood of the grape. Okay? What do you harvest with a sickle? Wheat? Or whatever, timothy, whatever a crop might be, with a sickle. Okay? But grapes, you pick them gently until they go into the press. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine in the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. That's good. God has a right to correct his children. He does. And God has a right to reward his children. Do you know what really touches my heart? He's not trying to destroy these. He's trying to save them. Trying to get them to see right from wrong. He's trying to get them to see how they went wrong and bring them into salvation. So don't misunderstand your father. with firmness and sternness and discipline, he brings people to the altar. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even as the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. A couple of hundred miles. Long ways. So, what was my point in covering that? The everlasting gospel and the everlasting presence of the Holy Spirit as we go into this time of the sealing. Seeing that people are sealed, that they know the difference. They know not to fall, not to be dissuaded, not to be lied to, because you've always got a governor, which is the Word of God, to come back to see whether it be of truth or not. Nothing is left out of the Word of God. We're going to go real quickly to the Old Testament. I want to zero this in, and I want it right. I mentioned a while ago the 38th chapter of Ezekiel, when we are attacked by Rush, all right? The chief prince of Rush, which that's the Hebrew, R-O-S-H, in Ezekiel 38. I want to go to chapter 37, which is just, that's the final battle, okay? I want to take you to show you what's happening just before that seventh trump sounds and that attack comes, okay? You'll find it in Ezekiel chapter 37. We're going to skip cover through some verses here. I want to remind you again, this is right before the end, just as it was in the book of Revelation. Chapter 37, verse 1 of the great book of Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones. Do you know something? Picture yourself going out in this nation today. These bones are spiritually dead people, not physically dead. They have no understanding. And in some ways, in their frame of mind, they have no hope. And that's sad. You know, it really is. I shudder to think how I could even live in this generation without hope, without knowledge. It would be scary, you know. But he said, look at them. Now, he's going to tell you how to change that. And that's where we sit today, just before the great battle. What are you going to do about it? Verse 2, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. There wasn't anything in them. Deader than a hammer, spiritually speaking. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Question. And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. You're the one that knows that, Father. And again he saith unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now, what is it that brings life into dry bones? The word of the Lord. It doesn't take anything else. Man strives that rag sheets and men's dreams in the night when they've been out and had too much going for them or something, writing stuff that there's no truth to it, or people looking for sensationalism. Stick to God's Word, and you'll have all the sensation your life can handle, and then some. Hear the Word of the Lord, okay? What did he say to do to them? O dry bones, hear the Word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these dry bones, behold, I will cause breath, that's spirit, ruach in the Hebrew tongue, to enter into you, and you shall live. You know, they'll live again. Why? They're not physically dead. And you know, that's one thing that God has certainly given us an advantage, this family. He's given us a broadcasting network. Do you know that we spend more hours on television than any other ministry in the world? We spend more hours teaching God's Word, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, than any other ministry. One of the best kept secrets in the world. And we're happy to keep it that way. Okay? I mean, it goes 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and even kick in a little extra every once in a while, you know, to gain time. Planting those seeds, that spirit. And I will lay sinew upon you and will bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. You know something? You take a family that is down and out. You take a family that is worthless. Put the Word of God in them and it will change them. They can even be on drugs. And when you hit them with the big hammer of truth, it changes lives. Nothing else can do that but the Word of God. And it will change those lives. And it does it in such a way that... I guess maybe we should share more of our mail, but that's their privacy, and I won't divulge privacy. But you just cannot imagine the input we have for the fact of how many lives you've touched and how many lives you've helped, that you've given that hope, that you've given them that strength, and they've come out of drugs. You know, I know a lot of people that are back in big business, big time, that had lost their businesses, their wives, their family, and were on drugs, hooked. And then they come back one day at a time, and they're back bigger and better than they ever were. Why? The Word of God brings back life. What I'm telling you is I know this is true. I see it every day. Our crews that handle mail read it every day and answer. That is to say, in filling orders and so forth, of lives changed. It's beautiful. Fantastic. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I want you to, and you know, you've all heard that song, haven't you? And dry bone, the hip bone connected to the leg bone. It's good, isn't it? I know it'll surprise you, but I've never had a voice lesson. Never have. Okay, boy, down to verse 9, and sharpen up for me. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, that's the Ruach, the Spirit. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, underline it, four winds, that's the winds that bring the end. O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. They're there. And we're going to fix it with God's help. Seeds planted is a beautiful, wonderful thing. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We're cut off from all parts. Now, he fixes that. That's what the Word does. And then he continues on. I'm going to just talk you through this because I'm not going to hold you all that long. My point is the everlasting gospel. I want you to hang on to that. That's what we're moving into. And it's not only a gospel for now, a gospel for salvation. It's inclusive. Those things are all included. But you've got to grow to the everlasting from day one on past the end and the world without end. Our Father loves us that much that He wants us to see, to know, to understand. He tells him here in verse 16 to get his stick. Right, Israel on one part of it and Judah the other, and he joins them back together. That hasn't happened. And then would Israel become one stick and one whole family. skip on down, if you would, to verse 24. You're all very familiar with this chapter. That's why I'm doing this. You know it by heart, what the dry bones and what came to pass. 24, "And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them." So many people forget to read that. Do you know something? If you don't do them, what good would it do you to read them in the first place? It didn't. You're lost. "And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever." And so it is. "Moreover," sharpen up for me, this is why I've dragged this out to this place. "Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore." Meaning, I will return. That's Shekinah. Do you understand that? That's what Shekinah glory is God's presence with us. Okay. Or as if we were to read the last words in this great book of Ezekiel, he speaks of this again, and he says, it is Yahweh Shemah, which is to say, I dwell there, I live with you. You're my children. That's coming, my friends. It's going to happen. But this Hebrew word is olam, everlasting. And it means beginning of the world without end. Same thing. That covenant is made. Do you think it was made with everyone? The covenant without end? It really wasn't. It was made with God's elect. Those that have knowledge, the sheep that know. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That no one understand, the 14th chapter of Revelation. That covenant is there. And, well, that means I can do anything I want to. No, it doesn't. That's one good way to get your gourd thumped like you've never had it thumped in your life. You know, if God gives you more, He expects more. And you better get set for it. That's just the way it is. And this everlasting covenant is with us. And why do I want to bring that forward? Take an interest in it. Sound that trumpet. Wake up those dry bones. Plant a seed. Get the truth to a lost soul. Give them hope. Change their lives. The Word will do it. Man can't. The Word can. It can change lives. And here is this everlasting covenant. And then we read, my tabernacle, 27, my tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. It's coming. And that leaves the whole world, as it's written in Revelation 20, chapter 20, coming there to see our Father, who He is the King of all, the Lord of all. Do you know where He made one other everlasting covenant? It's in this same chapter of the same book of Ezekiel. And it's where you get your direction from, because it's a covenant that won't bend and it won't break. Turn with me to the 16th chapter of this book of Ezekiel, and I'm closing. God saw Jerusalem. She had a very unclean birth. They didn't even swaddle her. They didn't even dry the blood off of her, as it's written in this 16th chapter. Why? Because Jerusalem was founded by the Jebusites, a very heathenistic, unclean people. They called it Jebus. And he saw her, and as she began to mature into a mature woman, He placed his skirt over her and took her to wife. That's biblically the way a marriage is done, created, finalized. And he took her to wife. His Jerusalem, the city, okay, it's his favorite spot in the world. And that's why it's your barometer. It's why the parable of the fig tree is so meaningful. Because you know this place, this geographical location is meaningful to God. And he continues on his story about this place he fell in love with. And what did he say concerning Jerusalem? Verse 60 of chapter 16, the book of Ezekiel, in closing. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth, and I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant. He will never leave Jerusalem. That is his most favorite place. It is where his temple will be in the millennium. When he uses this word, eons, or olam in the Hebrew, it means something. It means this is fixed. It is set. I want you to grasp the everlasting gospel. It is the gospel for all times, all seasons. But it takes the blinders off. You know, when someone can't see, even, you know, it's amazing that even though we have digs with universities, which we've documented many of them, where you dig dinosaurs and mammoths from millions of years old, they're there. Oh, no, they're not. The world is 6,000 years old. Dummy, dummy, dummy. You know? It's sad. It's really terrible, you know, that people can't take the blinders off and see the beauty of God's Word. That it is everlasting. And that you have, you know, do you think He just picked you to help save people and then He's going to put you on the shelf? He has worked for you, and when he said eternal, he meant exactly that. Eternally! Work, 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 work. But it's fun, right? It's a pleasure. And that's the message I wanted to bring to you, and it has to do with the sealing of God's truth in this generation, in the fact that your documentation, that preaching continues. You're going to have a lot of people say, well, you're teaching a second chance. Hey, they didn't have a prayer of a chance to start with what they're being taught. There's no such thing as a second chance. It's giving them their first chance. So, absorb the everlasting gospel. The preaching is just getting started. And the preaching will go and grow and grow. And you're a part of it. I thank our Father for that. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for these souls, these children of yours, Father. Bless them, lead them, guide them, direct them, Father, as we come into this generation of the fig tree, Father, and the sealing of the minds of people and the waking of those dry bones before that great battle. We ask it.